The sixth gateway out of the labyrinth of fear is to reframe the meaning of rejection. There are two domains in the mind. One is the domain of fact, and the other is the domain of meaning. See, in reality, all facts are meaningless. You make up the meaning. If you decide a neutral event means something negative about yourself, you can just as easily undecide it and redecide it. The choice is always there. It is simply up to you to exercise that choice. If you can make up one meaning, you can make up another. In both cases, it is us making it up. So why not make up a meaning that empowers us to ask for and create what you want in life rather than one that cripples and paralyzes us? Again, the choice is always yours. Remember, a no does not mean anything about you. Most people think rejection means that they're a bad person, a failure, no good, or they're inadequate or worthless. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, it don't mean nothing. Fact, I didn't get everything I wanted from my parents. Meaning, which I make up, I'm inadequate and unworthy of receiving. After all, I reason if I were lovable, my parents would have given me everything I needed and wanted. If I had been worthy of receiving, I would have got it. And since I didn't get it, it must mean I'm not worthy. Then the behavior that flows from that is I sit back, I don't participate, I don't ask for what I want, I don't get what I want. I settle for less than I desire and I'm capable of having. Why not take the same fact, I didn't get everything I wanted from my parents, make up a different meaning. My parents weren't adequate to give me everything I needed. They had their own psychological blocks and fears and lacks of competency. It doesn't mean I'm not worthy. It simply means I didn't get what I wanted. Now the behaviors, I can sit back and I can say, look, I'm worthy of having what I want. I'm going to participate. I'm going to go out and I'm not going to settle for anything less than what I want.
The seventh gate out of the labyrinth of fear is remember. Remember, it's a numbers game. Now, when Ross Perot started selling, he instantly became the best salesperson IBM ever had. In 17 days, he makes $287,000. And what happens is the chairman of the board said, you made more than I do, so you're fired. He'd spent all the money, so he borrows $1,000 from his wife and says, I'm starting a new company called EDS, Electronic Data Systems. He knocks on every door. Everybody said no. He knew the magic of handling it as a numbers game is the word N-E-X-T, next. He kept saying next. He understood that you don't get paid for success in life. You get paid for rejection en route to success. The 81st door said yes to $4 million. And then you divide 80 into 4 million, he got paid $50,000 every time he said next. It's always a numbers game. And what you got to do is have your numbers be high enough to make a difference.
W. Clement Stone, who was my mentor, used something he called the 25 bean technique. What he did with his salesmen, he knew they would be afraid and he knew that they'd quit if they got some rejection, but he needed to make sure they'd keep on going. So what he did is he said, I want you to start every day with 25 navy beans in your left pocket. And every time you make a sales call, you take one bean out and you put it in your right pocket. And what would happen is by the time they got to 25 beans, someone had said yes. It's a numbers game. There's a magic formula that I actually learned from Mark several years ago that I think every successful asker knows. It's SW. And what it means is some will, some won't, so what, someone's waiting. A lot of people are going to say no, but someone will say yes. And so what if they say no? Because all you need is that one yes. SW, someone's waiting. See, Mark and I believe that whatever you want wants you. If you want it, it's built into you as a divine seed that says it's possible for you to achieve it. If you really believe someone's waiting, wouldn't you do whatever it takes to make sure you find that person and they find you? My friend Michael Hesse wanted to find a wife. He was really getting tired of being a single guy. And he was in a job where he didn't meet a lot of people. So he went over to Great Expectations, which is a video dating service, and he wrote out a statement. Then he hired one of Hollywood's best photographers who did headshots for actors and actresses. They shot three rolls of film until he finally got a good picture, and he touched it up and took out the wrinkles, and they actually made him look a little younger. He's not a homely person, but he said, I knew it would help to have a good picture. Then he went in for a video, and he actually took a little course on how to do the right kind of video, and he got a friend that would interview him and someone he'd feel comfortable with, and he got himself into a situation where they asked him a lot of questions about women and what kind of women he liked, and he presented a really good package of himself. So what happened is he finally got a lot of names of people that were interested in his video and interested in his picture. And as he said, when he started calling up and asking these people out, it was a little uncomfortable. But he decided that it was a numbers game, just like we've been talking about. And he went out with probably two or three people a week for several months. The more he practiced, the more comfortable he got with the whole process. Michael said he went out with over 40 women before he met Marianne. Marianne's now his wife, and they have a couple of really lovely kids. It was a numbers game. 40 people, one wife. It was worth it.
We don't know what numbers you're going to have to hit and what area of your life you're going to have to hit those numbers. But in every part, just move slowly, get bigger, get stronger, get more dynamic. As Jack and I have said, build up your asking muscles, because your asking muscles are waiting to be flexed. They're waiting to get strong. They're waiting for you to become the Arnold Schwarzenegger of asking.